Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Incoming fax from Stadium and Gale.
Welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale's recruiting podcast, Facts Only. Today it's hosted by Dan
and Connor.
Man, oh man, Connor, it's good to have you. Silk had a prior family obligation today, so we wanted to make sure that we got this content out for you guys this week with National Signing Day coming up just next Wednesday. Connor, how is everything going on your end, my friend?
Everything's great, man. Busy time for us right now at Rivals, just with early signing day getting ready to be here next Wednesday, but it's been fun, man. Hectic, but fun.
Yeah, man. How's life treating you outside? I hear you. You got a wedding coming up here in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, man, I got a wedding coming up next month. Excited about it. Honestly, probably more excited about the honeymoon, but the wedding's fun too.
Man, I get to have some fun. Well, congratulations, my friend, and happy holidays to you, your fiance, your family, and friends.
Yeah, thank you, man. You too.
You got it, my friend. Well, currently Florida ranks number 6th on Rivals.com with 26 total commitments, with early signing day on Wednesday, on December 16th, just next Wednesday. Right now, the class sits, like I said, with 26 commitments, and Florida is expected to get about 23 of those commitments signed up on Wednesday, with Javonte Gardner, Devaya Hammond, and Trevante Rucker as the three that will likely be signing in February. Connor, is there anybody else that you expect that may not sign on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think you're looking at a guy like Tyreek Sapp. Kid's been committed for so long, you'd think he would sign early. I've heard that he probably will not. He'll probably push it back to February. Okay. Never good news if you've had a kid committed for about 2 years and he doesn't want to sign. As far as anybody else, I've heard rumblings that Adrian Strickland might not sign early, but okay. I haven't been able to confirm that one yet either.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll definitely keep a tune out for that. We will be hosting a podcast next Wednesday on National Signing Day. Be able to go over everybody that did sign, did not sign, any flips, any commitments, anything else next Wednesday. Please feel free to wait for details as we announce that. Connor and Silk will be reporting live from Orlando, and I will already be in Atlanta for the SEC Championship just a couple days from then. But let's get the show started. And this week we have two new sponsors. One's very personal connection of mine from college, and one's a family connection. So it's always good to have friends and family support. So this segment of the show is sponsored by a new sponsor, like I said, called Lemon and Lines, a local online design business focused on creating custom design work for businesses of all sizes, as well as any personal projects you may have. So give Rebecca Allison, a two-time Gator, a call. You can reach her at 321-300-6557. She's going to work with you on any website needs you have, logo and brand design, social media, graphic and video design, email templates, print and digital marketing materials, t-shirt merchandise design, and the like. I know that Stadium and Gale is going to be using her exclusively moving forward, so we're super excited to welcome Lemon and Lines, and you can visit them at lemonandlines.com or give Rebecca a call again at 321-300-6557. All right, Connor, already discussed offense over the previous two facts-only podcasts, so we're going to jump right into linebackers. The first one we're going to go over is a guy by the name of Chief Borders, a linebacker, 6'4", 230 pounds, has been committed to the Gators for just over a year now, was flirting with Stanford for a while, announced that he did get into Stanford, but just a couple of days ago announced that he is going to stick with his original commitment and the Florida Gators. Connor, break down Chief Borders a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief Borders, like you said, is a kid that flirted with Stanford for quite a while. We thought he was going to flip to Stanford. Hard to turn down that Stanford education, but he's a kid that Dan Mullen is extremely high on. Like you said, about 6'4", 230 pounds. he's one of those bigger inside linebackers that Florida hasn't had in such a long time. If you look at the previous linebackers, you had David Reese standing at about 6 foot. You have Ventura Miller at 5'11", 6 foot tall. They haven't really had a big inside linebacker like that. Probably going back to Brandon Spikes with that kind of size. Because you look at Jared Davis, he was about 6'2". You look at Antonio Morrison, he was also about 6'2". So Chiefs actually set his high school record that he transferred to Heard County for most tackles in a season. I think it was about 164.
Yep.
Set his senior tape to be coming out soon, so I'll be excited to see that. But he's one of those legitimate inside linebackers that Florida hasn't really had for quite a while because they've been taking a lot of those tweeners that we've talked about.
So Connor, I know that there's a lot of questions about Chief Borders and his position at Florida. I know you said he's a big linebacker. He's going to fill that gap in the middle. Athletically, is he a guy that we think can start pretty quickly? Does he need some development before he does see the field? Obviously, Florida does have some need at the linebacker position with some graduation and definitely some needed improved play there.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a kid that I think is going to take a year or two to get acclimated to the Power Five, the SEC level game, honestly. When I watched his junior tape, I wasn't blown away. He's a big kid. He's a smart kid, so he reads things well. Not overly fast, but like I said, because he's smart, he kind of diagnoses the plays really quickly and is in the right spot. But he's a kid that's going to need some time when he gets to the next level.
Okay. Like him, obviously a very smart, intelligent kid. To set any sort of tackle record in the state of Georgia is an incredible feat by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a guy that likes to see Chief Borders probably play some special teams probably early on in his career and probably see the field probably as a sophomore or junior. I do think that he will contribute. I think that he does have some good size. I think that he's going to need probably some leaning out and then probably adding more to his body after that. But I definitely see him being a valuable player for the Gators, but probably the bell cow at that linebacker position is a four-star Jeremiah Williams from Alabama. Florida beat out Auburn for his commitment a few months ago. 6'3", 224 pounds, splits in that, buck, weak side defensive end, but Florida has him as a linebacker in their class. Want to talk a bit about him because I think that he's an impact player for the Gators. Connor, tell me your thoughts, and then I want to pull up some film of his that we can watch a little bit more of him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm a huge Jeremiah Williams fan. When Florida was able to pull off that commitment from him, I was very surprised because everybody at the time thought he was going to Auburn. Now, with this kid, you're getting, like you said, he's got good size. He's about 6'3", 6'4", 225, 230 pounds, and he can move. Very athletic. He's a kid that's played the majority of his time in high school off the edge as an edge rusher, but he actually recently this week has been playing in the Alabama-Mississippi game, and they've been having their practices this week, and he's been showing out, not just off the edge, where he's very natural at, but also in coverage, being able to drop back, cover running backs, tight ends, and then just diagnosing plays from a linebacker perspective and shooting the gap. So he's a kid that's got a lot of versatility and a kid that I'm very excited to see.
Yeah, kind of pulled up his film here. You'll see, with him, really bodies a lot of people on the offensive side of the bar, offensive line. Strong kid. But what I like about him and what you'll see in the video that they're showing now is he's a guy that's not afraid to drop back into coverage, even outside of that defensive end position that he's playing. He does line up at linebacker. On that play right there, makes a good play, good heads up play to the ball on a slant route that goes in front of him. But a quick player, an instinctive player, great body size. I think that he's a guy that when you're talking about who are your potential impact players on defense right away, I think that Jeremiah Williams is one of those guys. I think that he comes in immediately, hits the special team side of the ball. And then I can definitely see him with Florida needing some help at the linebacker position. He fits that athletic mold that we know that Christian Robinson and Todd Grantham like, but I think he's bigger. He's a little bit more instinctive than some of the linebackers that we've seen, outside of maybe a Derek Wingo or a Tyron Hopper.
I completely agree with you.
So let's move to defensive tackle. Florida does have a couple of commitments there. Want to talk about, I guess the first one we can talk about is Desmond Watson, from Seffner, three-star guy ranked by a lot of the different services. Rivals has him ranked as a four-star. I think that he's definitely a four-star. I think that he's an underrated guy. Comes in 6'5", 350 pounds, out of Seffner Armwood, like I said. Florida goes back into Armwood, steals probably the elite Central Florida defensive tackle in Desmond Watson. But Connor, talk to us a little bit about what you like out of him, because Rivals does have him ranked a bit higher than some of the other sites.
Yeah, we do, and it's for good reason. I saw him in person a couple times at camps this summer, and he was just dominant. 350 is probably putting it very nicely for him. He's a kid that I think right now sits at about 380 or 385 pounds. And I think at one point was up over 400 pounds. He's a kid that at that size though has elite quickness, his foot speed, he uses his hands well. And then at that size, you're just overly physical to really any of the offensive linemen that are going to try to block you. He's a kid that's going to be an instant plug and play nose tackle, I think, because he's going to enroll early at Florida. He'll get there in January, be able to work with Coach Savage in the weight program. And I think he's going to be an instant impact kind of player for the Gators.
I love it. Connor, what kind of deficiencies do you think that he has? Or do you think that he's a guy who can come in right away? Do you think that he's a disruptor, or do you think he's more of a space eater? What kind of defensive tackle do you think he is?
So I think he's a little bit of everything, honestly. With the size that he has, he's going to be a bit of a space eater. He's going to draw a lot of double teams. He's going to have to take on a lot of that early in his career. But he's got the foot speed and the hand movement to be able to split double teams and make impact plays. I would liken him to a Terrence Cody that played at Alabama a while back. He was a big-time space eater, blocked quite a few field goals, but wasn't really known for being able to get after the passer. I think Watson's a little bit quicker and can do that, but mostly he's going to be one of those guys that eats up a lot of double teams over the middle. You won't see his impact on the stat sheet as much, but he's going to be a huge player for the Gators down the line.
Do you have him projected like a Slayton's playing this year, or?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll play same position that TJ Slayton is going to leave behind.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, really like him. I mean, you can see on his film, you know, really highlights, his ability to, you know, he's a lot stronger, obviously, than a lot of those guys, much bigger physically than most of the guys that he's going to play in high school, but looks to have solid technique, looks to have more than that just simple bull rush that you often see out of, you know, non-technique defensive tackles. I also like him because he looks faster than his size indicates that he should be. Was able to shed some blocks, was able to chase down some running backs and, you know, some fullbacks or some you know, wide receivers that are running over the middle, but definitely looks like a solid player. What do you think the knock on him is? Why do you think some people have him ranked lower than you guys do?
I think it's just because of all the bad weight he was carrying around for quite a while. Like I said, I think at one point he was up over 400 pounds. So you see a guy like that and you think maybe he's a little lazy. Maybe he's not going to be as quick as what you see on film here. As you can see from these highlights, he's getting off the ball just about as fast as anybody on his defensive line. And I guarantee, outweighs every one of them by at least 100 pounds.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, I really like him. I thought that getting him was a big get. Obviously, that's an area that Florida, you know, that Lakeland, Seffner, Plant City area, you know, is an area that Florida has historically recruited really well, but over the last few years has struggled. Get a couple guys from Lakeland a few years ago, get back into Seffner, get back into Kathleen and kind of that area. You know, Florida's back, and I know that Dan Mull and Christian Robinson and that gang have really done a great job of really going back after those two areas. Also at the defensive tackle position is a three-star guy out of Dunbar High School and down in Fort Myers. 6'6", 277 pounds, a little bit taller, significantly leaner than Desmond Watson is Christopher Thomas Jr. Like I said, three-star guy recruited by Todd Grantham, has been committed to Florida, for almost a year and a half now. Different player than Desmond Watson, I think, definitely is a little bit probably more athletic. He is a little bit leaner, but in my opinion is missing some of the technique that maybe, you know, you're going to look for out of your defensive tackle. But Connor, talk to us a little bit about what you know about Christopher Thomas.
Yeah, he's a kid that A lot of people, including myself, were questioning the take when they took him back over a year ago. But hey, you got to trust David Turner and what he decides to do with the D-line class. He's been fantastic, both coaching and recruiting along the defensive line. So if he's a, if Thomas is a kid that he likes, then you have to go with it. Now Thomas has had a big senior season. He's improved a lot from last year to this year. I do think he's a little bit underrated based off of what I've seen from him this year. But he is a kid that's going to be a developmental kid. He's not going to get on the field year one and blow people away. He's a kid that still needs work on his technique. He's got to add a little bit of weight. He's a kid that also can shift around the defensive line a little bit, can play a little bit of strong side defensive end, a little bit of defensive tackle, a little bit of position versatility, which this defense really covets. But I think he's a solid prospect that maybe in a year or two will be a very good player for the Gators.
Perfect. Perfect. Fills the need. You know, Florida's recruited defensive tackle position, you know, somewhat well over the last few years. David Turner obviously shown, you know, what he can do. Let's briefly get into the defensive end side of the ball. You know, Florida does have, you know, two more names there, including Tyreek Sapp, who you mentioned may not sign. It's been committed to Florida for quite some time out of St. Thomas Aquinas. Tyreek Sapp, previously ranked a five-star, you know, drops down to a, you know, highly ranked four-star, 6'3", 260 pounds, being courted by Alabama right now, committed, gosh, what, Christmas Eve 2018?
Yeah.
So you think that he, you know, may not, you know, not only sign early, that he may not be in this class, but let's assume that he is. What do you like about Tyreek Sapp and is he an impact player from day one?
Yeah, he's a kid that I think if Florida's able to keep him in the fold, he can get on the field year one. He's very, very compact, like 6'3", 265, 260 or so pounds. Reminds me a lot, and I actually stole this from Rivals Mike. Reminds me a lot of Carl Lawson when he came out of high school, the impact defensive end for Auburn Tigers back in the day. Now, he's a very compact, very powerful defensive end that, specialty is a bull rush. He's still got quick feet, needs to get a little bit better with his hands at this point in his career, but he's a kid that's just a load. If you see him in person, he's just physically imposing. So Florida needs to do everything they can to try to keep that kid in the class. They desperately need help at strong side defensive end. Zach Carter's their guy. We don't know if he's going to be here next year. And then you've got Princely.
Mm-hmm.
I won't butcher his last name right now. that's really the only other strong side defensive end behind him. So you've got to be able to keep a kid like that in the class.
Yeah, certainly a concern at the strong side defensive end. I know we've talked a lot about it on Stadium and Gale, and I think we even talked about it on maybe the first episode of Facts Only, is that Florida's a big fan of taking those tweener kind of athletic guys, those that sit in between linebacker and defensive end. And I think that you've seen, you know, with Kyrie Campbell out this season, when you had to move Zach Carter in, you know, in Florida could potentially lose Brenton Cox, you know, to the NFL draft this season, potentially lose Zachary Carter, that Florida is in a position where they're really lacking, you know, some real true defensive end production that is true. Like you said, strong side. So you have Princely, I believe it's Uman Milan, but, you know, until, you know, maybe a sophomore year when we have to learn his name. But outside of that, you know, Florida is really, really desperate for some need at the defensive end position, which then, you know, brings us in, and then I want to kind of cumulatively talk about the defensive line, you know, to Justice Boone, who's 6'5", 240 pounds out of Sumter, South Carolina. I know that he's a guy that, you know, Florida's really, really high on. He's, you know, probably higher ranked in Florida's book than maybe some of the websites have him at as a four-star. But again, to me, is more of that weak side defensive end. And again, the difference between strong side defensive end and that weak side defensive end is really where your tight end or where your heavy set is lined up. You know, I don't see him being able to contribute at that strong side defensive end. So that really makes, you know, Tyreek Sapp a must-get for Florida. And if not, they have a huge need in the transfer portal to fix that defensive end position.
Yeah, I might have to disagree with you there a little bit.
Okay.
And I think this kid, if you look at him, if you've ever seen his physical makeup, he's a kid that can add a lot of good weight. So at 6'5", 240 pounds right now, he might not be typical strong side defensive end body type at this moment, but he's a kid that's, I believe he's going to enroll early at Florida as well.
Yep.
And he's someone that can add a lot of good weight. Once he gets on campus, he's got long arms. He's got a good frame. that I think he can play at about 270 pounds, no problem, and not lose any bit of that explosiveness that's made him so good this year.
Well, Florida's going to rely on him next year, you know, especially if Tyreek Sapp does not enroll. Do you see him being an impact player? Do you think, you know, from a technique perspective, you know, I know that you said he can add some weight and play, you know, certainly at a heavier weight, which is sometimes easier said than done. But talk to us about his technique and what you like about him as a player of what we see so far.
Yeah, absolutely. As you can see here in his highlights, if it starts to play, he's very, very quick off the ball. And that's one of the things that I think jumped out at me the most when I watched his tape. He's quick off the ball. He's a lot stronger than he looks. Okay. He uses a lot of bull rush. He's going to have to refine his technique as far as his hands go. But as you see there, he just kind of overpowers the guy and then blows by him. He's a little bit raw right now, so I don't think he's someone that's going to get a lot of playing time as a freshman unless he absolutely has to, which you just spoke about. Mm-hmm. But he's someone that I think a year from now, after he's been in the weight program, after he's played, refined his technique, he's somebody that can be a huge impact player for the Gators.
You know who he kind of reminds me of, Connor, is a guy that is actually a good friend of mine, is Jermaine Cunningham. You know, Jermaine came, you know, from Georgia to Florida as a tall, lean guy. But there was just something about his ability to wreak havoc where he was able to get on the field early and make some impact plays, even as not a huge guy. Now, you know, what you saw Jermaine Cunningham, you know, during his career that ultimately gets him drafted by the Patriots is he adds weight, but he keeps that speed. Right. And so that's the biggest thing that whenever you're talking about a player adding weight is even if they look like they can add weight is the ability to keep that speed. Like you said, Connor, I do have some questions about maybe his hand placement a little bit. He looks like a one move type of guy. But again, you know, when you're that much better than a lot of the talent that you're playing now, no offense to, you know, who Sumter County's playing, because I know in South Carolina they're better. You know, they're playing the better talent there. But what you see, you know, in, you know, a lot of his clips is either he's just quicker than the tackle that he's going against, or he's able to overpower them. So when he does have to make some moves, I do have some questions about, you know, what his ability to get off of that block is outside of just overpowering somebody. But what you do like about him is certainly he's able to wreak havoc. And hell, if that's all he has to do to make an impact in high school, then that's all you have to do to make an impact in high school, right?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So, Connor, let's go over, you know, kind of that front seven. You know, give the class, you know, an A to an F. How do you think, you know, they did, you know, recruiting, you know, linebackers, defensive tackles, and defensive ends, assuming, you know, that all of these people that we just talked about, you know, stay in the class?
I'd say it's probably a C+, B- class as far as that goes. I think they still need to add another defensive lineman. They need so much more depth along the defensive line. And then you've got a guy that you're waiting on in Xavier Sorey to add to the linebacker class. I think they still need to add another linebacker as well with as much need as they've had. So as of right now, before early signing day, I'd say C+, B- on the front seven class.
So add in, we're going to talk about him in a bit, but add in Xavier Sorey. Does that change or is it still kind of the same?
No, I think if you add a player that's as good as Xavier Sorey or even a Trevin Wallace or Terrence Lewis, I don't know what their options are as far as linebacker goes with Xavier Sorey kind of stringing them along all the way until early signing day. But if you can add any of those guys, I think your class, your front seven class goes from that to probably a B+ or A- class because those kids are so impactful.
Perfect. Yeah. And you're a little bit more bullish than I am right now. I have the group is probably a B. I think you add Xavier Sorey, maybe you go from like an 80 to maybe an 85, 86, still not a B+. You know, I think that Florida is still missing on that strong side defensive end. You know, Tyreek Sapp is great. Justice Boone is a good player, but I still think that Florida, you know, has a glaring hole there and adding another, you know, person there, adding another body there that could contribute is going to be big because, you know, I don't see Zach Carter coming back. Princely Umanmielen, you know, certainly we've seen some flashes, you know, from him this year, but, you know, there's still some question marks there. At linebacker, you know, Chief Borders, I think, is solid. I think that Jeremiah Williams is really good. You add in Xavier Sorey, I think that certainly helps. But, you know, looking at the group holistically, I just think that there were some opportunities to really improve the room, and I think that they're kind of maintaining more than improving. But, you know, we'll certainly see once they all, you know, enroll and start to contribute on the field. Before we get to defensive backs, let's give a shout out to another new sponsor of ours. So if you're in the state of Florida, you're looking to buy a new home, maybe rent your home, maybe find renters to rent your place that you own or have an investment property, or maybe you yourself are looking to rent somewhere. Give Danette Thompson at Central Property Realties a call at 954-341-9089. Has over 30 years of experience in real estate. She's based down in South Florida. She's a proud Gator, University of Florida alumna. So give her a call if you're looking to do anything regarding real estate, whether it's residential or commercial in the state of Florida, 954-383-9194, or visit centralpropertiesrealty.com. All right, Connor, back end of this class, DeJuan Black, a guy that was committed to Florida out of Mississippi a couple years ago, enrolls in junior college, does well, recommits to Florida, did well his freshman year, didn't play this year because junior college isn't playing, I don't believe. DeJuan Black, safety, linebacker, star, tweener, kind of all things above. Break down DeJuan Black, and I know that Gator Nation loves DeJuan Black.
Oh, man, I'm a huge DeJuan Black fan. Just if he doesn't ever do anything amazing at Florida just because of the sheer determination to be able to get to Florida. But, yeah, DeJuan Black's a fantastic talent. He was a borderline five-star before he didn't play his senior year in high school due to academic concerns. And he's just as good, if not better, than what he was as a senior in high school. Like you said, went to junior college, did really well his freshman year, was one of the top players on a team that won a junior college national championship. And he's a kid that can play a little bit of everything. Strong safety, linebacker, star. He's one of those, and they love to use the term now, unicorns like an Isaiah Simmons. I don't think he's quite as fast as Isaiah Simmons was, but he's just as athletic, and he's a fantastic player, can cover. He's one of those kids that can cover, hopefully, a Kyle Pitts type tight end receiver. But I'm just a huge DeJuan Black fan. Couldn't be happier for the kid to be able to get to Florida in January.
Yeah, man, super exciting. Awesome story. Like Connor said, if you didn't know it, academic concerns, wasn't able to play his senior year. Comes in, plays an incredible senior year of junior college. I think 247, sorry, Connor, had him ranked as the number one junior college player in the country after just his freshman year. Obviously, they don't play this year. But really a guy that can come in. And I think, you know, if you talk about anybody that has the chance to play their first year at Florida, I think DeJuan Black is definitely one of those guys. Come in strong, athletic, big, 6'4", 215, probably still has the opportunity to add a little bit of weight there. Where do you ultimately see him playing the most, Connor?
I think he's going to be one of those kids that plays that outside linebacker star position.
Okay.
We have him listed as a safety on Rivals right now, just because of the sheer versatility of him. But he's one of those kids, like you said, he's about 6'4", 215 pounds, still has the ability to add weight once he gets into a better weight program than he had at Mississippi Gulf Coast. And best part about it for Florida fans, he's a 3-year guy because he only played 1 year at junior college. He's a guy that I think could come in and start right away and have 3 years of eligibility.
Do you think that he moves into that star spot right away, maybe takes it from a Trevis Johnson as maybe he moves back to a more natural position at safety? I mean, you know, if you were to guess, I mean, you think he plays 25% of the snaps on defense next year, 10%, 50%?
If I had to make a guess, I'd probably say closer to 50 just because of how versatile he is. I don't think he necessarily takes away Trevis Johnson's star spot because I think Trevis is going to be the guy next year. I think it's just going to be dependent upon the situation that they have. If you've got a team that's got a really good tight end, I think he plays more of that star position. But I think Trevis is going to pretty much be entrenched in that star role. I think DeJuan will switch back and forth between outside linebacker and strong safety.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's get to your more true defensive backs here in a row, you know, cornerbacks, that is. Dakota Mitchell, Winter Park, 5'11", 180 pounds, committed to Florida back in June. A name that I know that Florida's been high on for a while, but talk to us a little bit about Dakota Mitchell and what you like out of him.
Yeah, Dakota Mitchell's a extremely physical kid. I think he's going to fit into that star spot after Trevis makes his way through the university. He's a kid that is listed as a safety, but like I said, he covers well. He's great blitzing. He's a good tackler. and he's not afraid to mix it up in the box. So I think he's going to fit in at the star spot. But I like the kid a lot. I think we have him a little underrated.
I like him too. I think he's physical. I think he plays great talent. I think that he's a good, a really good player. I think that he is able, I think he's going to play similar to what Marco Wilson did. I think that he's going to play some outside corner and that star position as well. You have him more as a star. I'm curious to see how Florida is able to balance that with Trevez Johnson being there for at least another 2 years, potentially three. I guess he could technically be there for 4 years because this year doesn't count. DeJuan Black being that guy. You know, Florida, you know, seemingly has a lot of these tweeners. You know, you could add Amari Burney technically into that as well that are playing this, you know, star linebacker hybrid. But I know Dakota Mitchell plays more of that cornerback star hybrid compared to that linebacker star hybrid that we've seen. So we'll definitely be curious to see, you know, how much he gets on the field during his career. Let's talk about Jordan Young from Gaither High School here in Tampa, 6'1", 185 pounds. You guys have him ranked as a 4-star, commits just a couple days after Dakota Mitchell does, kind of in that slew of commitments Florida got in June and July. Jordan Young, in my opinion, is a little bit more underrated than some of the other guys. I wouldn't have him ranked higher than a 4-star, but you guys have, you know, 5'8". I have maybe as a 5'9" type of guy in your rankings. I think that he's super physical. I think that he's a ball hawk. I think that he high points the ball. But Connor, tell us a little bit more about Jordan Young.
Yeah, I agree. He's very physical. I've seen him play a couple times in person, 7-on-7 camps, and then also down in Tampa. He's a very physical kid, press man corner if he's going to play corner. Another kid that I think could play the star role just because of how physical he is. Now, at about 185 pounds, he's still got a lot of room to fill out. I think he might actually move to safety at the next level.
Okay.
Reminds me a lot of Trey Dean physically, where he has the room to grow, add a lot of solid weight. And I think he's a little bit of a ball hawk. He's not overly fast. So once you get to the SEC, you have to turn and run with those speedy receivers. I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that at the next level. Okay. So I think his best fit at the next level might be at safety.
Perfect. Let's move to Donovan McMillan, a guy committed back in July, was between Florida and I believe Penn State at the time, 6'2", 193 pounds out of McMurray, Pennsylvania, which I believe is near Pittsburgh. Donovan McMillan, again, a big lanky cornerback. It seems like it seems like Ron English and Todd Grantham really like their safeties tall. They like them big, big hitter, in my opinion. Really like Donovan McMillan, and to go into Big Ten country and steal him, you know, from some big schools, you know, I think speaks you know, volumes of their ability to recruit and develop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Donovan McMillan is one of those kids that kind of didn't blow up as far as major Power Five offers until the summer, and Florida benefited from that. He's a kid that is he was a state runner up in wrestling last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be able to be a physical kid. He's going to take, if he's got to come down from the safety spot, he'll take out blocks, stuff like that. But most importantly, what I've noticed on his film, he's a fantastic tackler, and Florida struggled with that a lot this year at safety. Guys coming down can't secure the tackle, and you need that as a safety. As Ahmad says on Stadium and Gale, you guys have to be able to make those tackles. You're the safety. You're the last line of defense. And I think Donovan McMillan is one of those kids that will make sure that he's making those sure tackles. And like you said, 6'2", 193 pounds, with room to get larger. I think he'll play about 6'2", 210, around Keanu Neal size, and be able to play very well at that size.
So, Connor, what do you think it was about him that – do you think it was his school? You know, I know he plays at a smaller school. What do you think it was that made Donovan McMillan go under the radar for so long? Because I know that you guys didn't have him ranked, and then all of a sudden you have him ranked in the top, what, 150 or so, 160. I mean, that's a huge jump. What do you think it was?
I really couldn't tell you. It could be a combination of being at a small private school in Pennsylvania. Yeah. But I think we had him at a 5.53 star when he committed to Florida. And then right after that, he bumped up to a 4-star, and then now he's in the Rivals 250.
Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, incredible player. What I love about him, you don't see, and it might be scheme. You just never know when you're watching highlight tapes and you only have a little bit. Don't see him a bunch in man coverage or defending the pass as much. But what you do see about him is a few things. Number one, definitely a downhill runner, gets the ball, knows where the ball is. And like you said, a sure tackler. You mentioned his wrestling background. I mean, I think that that's huge, especially when you're talking about Florida, having as many missed tackles at that safety position as they have. I mean, at the end of the day, I want the big major right Will Hill type of hit, but I want them to wrap up and make the tackle like Ahmad Black used to do. Really, really good on the perimeter. I think really good at chasing folks down. Great at run support. I think that he's a guy that Florida's going to probably use in blitz packages as well. Definitely instinctive. Really like it. I think that he, in my opinion, is going to be, you know, a multi-year starter at Florida. I think that that's the kind of safety you want at Florida. I think that he's smart. I think that he's instinctive. I think that you can see all of that. Now, time will tell when he gets onto campus, but when you're talking about getting a player that can truly make a long-term impact, maybe they're not the All-American, maybe they're not a first-round draft pick, but when you're talking about a guy that's going to come in and really make a long-term impact, I think that Donovan McMillan probably has to be, you know, near the top of your list there.
No, absolutely, I agree.
All right, let's go to the bell cows of this defensive back class. Jason Marshall and Corey Collier. Jason Marshall is your cornerback. You know, four highly ranked four-star guy or five-star guy on the different sites. 6'1", 173 pounds, commits to Florida back in August. I mean, just an incredibly good cornerback, a lockdown cornerback that I think, you know, is going to probably hold, you know, down, I don't know, maybe 2 years at an outside cornerback position.
Yeah, I definitely think he's capable of that. He is coming into a room that's got a solid cornerback group with Kyer Elam, Jaden Hill. But I think he's a kid that's going to be in the rotation day one.
Yep.
You said we have him listed 6'1", 173. I got to see him in person a couple weeks ago. He's now every bit of 6'2", about 190 pounds.
Wow.
So he's put on some good weight. It's not bad weight. It's good weight. Moves well. He's definitely more comfortable as a press man corner because he's so physical, so strong. But he can play a little bit of everything. And I think he's one of those kids that Florida always finds a way to pull one really good cornerback usually in just about every class. And this is that kid for their class.
Who recently would you compare him to? Is he more of a Kyer Elam type? Is he a Janoris Jenkins type? Is he, you know, Vernon Hargraves, you know, more of a technique guy that's maybe not the most physical? Who do you think you would compare him to?
Man, that's a tough one. As far as stature goes, I would have to say Kyer Elam. They're both very similar in build. I think Kyer was a little bit better technically coming out of high school, but I think Jason's a little bit better an athlete. Kyer's a fantastic athlete, don't get me wrong, but I think Jason is just that good.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, let's get back to the safety position. Corey Collier, 6'2", 180 pounds. That's what it's listed at, but I know that he's probably added some weight since then. You guys have him ranked as a five-star. A lot of the other services have him ranked as a highly rated four-star. Also comes out of Palmetto High School, Jason Marshall. Impactful kid. Talk to us a little bit about what you like out of Corey Collier.
Yeah, we have him rated as a five-star simply because we think his upside is so high. 6'2", like you said, 180 pounds, and he's got long arms. He's got a frame that'll add a lot of good weight. He's got a lot of range back there at safety. He's real smart. But the biggest thing I like about him, and as we mentioned with Donovan McMillan, he's not afraid to come downhill and make a hit. He throws his body around, good in run support. And he's one of those kids that I think enrolling in January, he'll have the opportunity to play early at Florida because the safety play, as we've discussed, has not been very good. He's a kid that can come in, make an impact early. But I think long-term, he's probably got the highest ceiling of anybody in this defensive back class.
And what is – does he have good technique? I mean, obviously he's physical, you know, and you'll see that when you watch him. But pardon me, how's his technique?
His technique's solid. I mean, he's the son of a former Florida State football player, so he's been doing this since he's very young. But he's got solid technique. He could get a little bit better. Does get a little bit lazy at times where he relies on his natural athletic ability, but the kid's just a stud. He's got great, he's great at reading quarterback's eyes and trusting his natural instincts to make a play on the ball.
What? So I know that you think that he's your big impact player, probably long-term, you know, on this team. You see, and I know you mentioned you think you see him playing next year. I mean, do you think that he's good enough to potentially earn a starting spot next year?
With the way that the safety position's been going, I think there's a possibility that he does, especially with him being on campus in January. I find it hard to just sit back and think, like, okay, who's your returning safeties? I mean, you've got Sean Davis leaving.
Yep.
You've got Brad Stewart leaving. You've got Donovan Steiner leaving, who have been your safeties for the year. You've got Rashad Torrance, who I think is a fantastic safety. And then Trey Dean's been playing a little bit of safety for you. And I know Corey's got a little – I think Corey's better in coverage than both of those guys, Rashad Torrance and Trey Dean. And he's just as good in run support, in my opinion, that I've seen in high school. Now, I don't know how he's going to adjust to the college level, the SEC level, but I think he's a better cover guy than either of those two that are on campus right now.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, let's look again, going over DeJuan Black, Dakota Mitchell, Jordan Young, Donovan McMillan, pardon me, Jason Marshall, and Corey Collier. What would you rank this group? A to F.
Oh, I've got to give this group an A, man.
Okay.
It's one of the best defensive back classes in the country, in my opinion. And it's got the opportunity to get even better if Florida can close with their last guy.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that here just in a second. Now, I like you said, Connor, I like this group as a B+, A-. Again, just a really, really solid group. Fills a lot of holes in terms of what they're trying to do. Big physical guys that I think all are going to make an impact. I don't see any player, you know, out of these, you know, six names that we listed as people that won't play, you know, within their first 2 years of being on campus. And that's what you want. You want to see these guys be able to get on the field early, often the ability to make plays. I think they're all physical. I think that they're all multi-tool players. And I truly think that all of them will make an impact at the University of Florida, which is not something that you know, could have always said about the defensive back class. And, you know, hopefully this allows Florida to get back to their DBU moniker that I know this year has certainly been something that they're not bragged a ton about. This week is a big week for visitors at the University of Florida. In a year where visits have been very quiet, they've been on their own, Florida is bringing 8 kids onto campus this week, and they're doing their own thing. You can't really host visits the same way you've previously been able to, but let's run through those names with some really big names mixed in there. The first one is defensive line, Toon Miche Adelier. How'd I do this time?
Well done. Listen, Dan, I did want to tell you, every time you say it, it gets a little bit better. You know, well done, Dan. I'm impressed.
I'm hoping I learned it for the right reason. Again, a guy that was at IMG Academy for a year, previously committed to Ohio State, backs off his commitment to there. Florida looks like they're in the driver's seat. We wait. And now we're seeing all these crystal balls roll in, and it looks like it's an Alabama, Texas A&M battle, but he is coming to campus this weekend. Should this be a name that Florida fans learn the name of for a future Florida Gator?
Unless something crazy happens this weekend, I don't think you need to learn the name. He's a kid. I think it's very encouraging that he's going to be on campus this week for the LSU game, but I think at the end of the day, it just ends up being Texas A&M.
All right, man. Well, another one. Tristan Lee, offensive lineman, offensive tackle, 5-star. Him and his brother, Aiden Lee, 2023 offensive lineman, are coming to campus. You know, Florida's kind of been in the backseat of, his recruitment, but he is coming onto campus. What are your thoughts?
He is. It's interesting because the entire time through his process, he's had his top 4, his top 5, and then just miraculously Florida kind of pops up out of nowhere. He had a top 5, I think, at one point, and then goes, you know what? A week later, I'm going to update it to a top 6 and throw Florida in there. And then now he seems all but locked up to go somewhere else. And then, you know what? I'm going to go visit Florida one more time. So for whatever reason, Florida is stuck in this kid's mind where he continues to give them thought. I don't know that it's going to be enough thought to sway him to slide through Gainesville and end up being a Gator, but it's pretty interesting that he continues to mention the Gators.
Bringing his brother onto campus, do you know anything much about Aiden Lee?
Still a very young kid. He's a 2023 yeah. prospect, so he's still very raw. I don't know a whole lot about him, honestly. I haven't really caught up on my 2023 film review yet.
You gotta get on it, Connor.
I do. I'm slacking. I'm sorry. But he seems like he's a solid kid. I know Tristan is elite of the elite offensive tackles, and if Florida could find a way to pull that off, that would kind of get people off John Hevesy's back a little bit.
All right, let's get into the name that everybody wants to – the two names that everybody wants to know about, linebacker Xavien Sorry and defensive back Terrion Arnold. Both have had some crystal balls lately, sending them to Georgia and Alabama respectively. Florida looks to be sitting, you know, potentially in the driver's seat for Terrion Arnold as of a few weeks ago, and Georgia looked to be sitting in the driver's seat for Xavien Sorry a few weeks ago. Connor, where are we at there? Has the driver changed?
I think the driver stays the same for Xavien Sorry. He's a kid that his mom really likes Florida, but I think Georgia's going to find a way to pull that one off here next week. And then as far as Terrion Arnold goes, it's really who knows with that kid. He's a kid that's very, very vocal about who he likes, but as far as tipping his hand, he doesn't do it. So it's one of those things that we'll just have to find out in February, because he's one of those kids that's not going to sign early. He's going to drag it all the way out until February National Signing Day.
All right. We'll wait patiently for your for those updates there. Defensive back commit Dakota Mitchell and Donovan McMillan, who we talked about, are both coming onto campus this weekend. 2022 commit five-star Sam McCall, who plays that safety position, who I think is just going to be a rock star at the University of Florida. He'll be on campus. And then another 2022 defensive back target, Javonte McClendon out of the Lakeland area, I believe, is coming on to campus. Days late, he might be a commit in this class. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Javonte is actually the high school teammate of Sam McCall. They played together at Lake Gibson, so that's a nice little thing working in the Gators' favor there. I do think that there's a possibility that Javonte could commit this weekend. He's coming up, from what I've heard, with a lot of his family. He's coming up with his teammate, Sam. I think it's a possibility that the Gators add a safety to the 2022 class this weekend.
I love it. Let's talk about a few other names, and we're going to answer some questions here. Xavien Sorry, that Florida might be a little bit behind, but talk and in the back burner for a while.
I'm sorry, say that again. I lost you halfway through that.
Oh, I'm sorry. So talk about Trevin Wallace a little bit.
Yeah, Trevin Wallace is a kid out of Georgia. As far as I know, his family and him are big-time Gator fans. I don't know what the extent of the communication has been between him and Florida. I know Christian Robinson has been in communication with him, but to what extent, I'm not sure. He's a kid that I think, if he does push back his signing until February, could end up being a Gator. But if he decides to sign early, I think Florida could miss out on a very talented young linebacker.
Speaking of linebackers, Terrence Lewis, former UF commit, was committed what I believe his junior year for just a couple. South Florida, commits to Tennessee. Tennessee's all high and mighty, and just like everything else Tennessee brags about for a while, it all comes crumbling down. He's one of, what, 3, 4, 5 decommitments that they've had over the last couple of weeks. Does Florida have a chance at this five-star linebacker?
Yeah, I do think they have a chance. He said he's going to release his top three on Monday. I would not be surprised to see Florida in that group. I think it'll be a combination of either Texas A&M, Auburn, Miami, or Florida. I think those four schools are jockeying for that position. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida be in that group. in the couple of days before early signing day. And if Florida makes a push, I think they could possibly land him.
What would you, and I don't want to get our fans' hopes up, but what would you put as, you know, the likelihood that, that Terrence Lewis is in this class? Greater than 50% or less than 50%?
As of today, I'd say less.
Okay. All right, let's answer a few questions before we roll out of here. This one's from Gators5787. Do you think we have a chance with Huggins and JUCO? John Huggins, again, left Florida after a few issues a few years ago, goes and enrolls in junior college, is now ranked as one of the higher-ranked junior college prospects. Do you think that, you know, that, that ship has sailed, or do you think Florida has a shot with John Huggins?
No, I definitely think that ship has sailed. I don't see him ever returning to the University of Florida.
Okay. Outside of that, I think we've gotten most of these questions. A lot of questions on Xavier Nsori. A lot of questions on if he's trolling him, trolling Florida. I guess there's maybe a video with Kirby Smart filmed. I didn't see that. I can't keep up with all these guys. But outside of that, Connor, looking cumulatively at the class, again, knowing all we know, is my final question to you. Give this class a rank, offense, defense, just kind of big picture here.
I mean, I would say offensively, I think the skill positions are solid. Offensive line, you want to see a lot better recruiting, as we discussed in the last episode. So offensively, I'd say probably a C+, B-, just because the skill positions are so good. Your wide receiver class is fantastic. I think your tight ends are very underrated. And your quarterback class is solid.
Yeah.
And then defensively, I think your defensive class is going to be a B or a B+. I like what they've done with the defensive line class. I love the freaking DB class. And then linebackers, I think they need to add another one. D-line, I think they need to add another one as well. But as of right now, I'd say a solid B+ for that side of the ball.
So for the whole class, you're giving it a B?
Overall class, I'd say a solid B.
Okay. I like it, man. I like it. I think that Florida, I would agree with you, Connor. I think that on the offensive side of the ball, my biggest question mark, and I'm going to add DeMarcus Bowman in there just because he's already announced. I think on the offensive side of the ball, they do a great job. Offensive line, I really just think that they missed the chance to get some elite playmakers at that position. On the defensive side of the ball, we talked about it. You know, I would have loved to see another linebacker in there. I would have loved to see, you know, a little bit more help on that strong side, defensive end side, just where they're missing some pieces. But I think they solidify themselves in the tight end room, the running back room, the quarterback room, the wide receiver room, the safety room, the cornerback room. So, you know, all in all, I think that Florida ends this class strong. I would like to see, you know, the 2022 class, you know, a little bit more elite. And I know that we're not just looking and chasing stars, but I think that we had the chance, you know, in 2021 to really make an impact. And I think that this is a solid class. It's the number 6th ranked class for a reason. But I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, with some addition of, you know, some other prospects or some other schools, if Florida doesn't, you know, shift down to that 7, 8, 9 spot, which again, isn't a bad spot. And we've seen that Dan Mullen has the ability to recruit and develop, you know, well, but we're just missing, you know, a couple of those elite pieces. You know, those Jason Marshalls are what you want. Those Corey Colliers are what you want. But DeMarcus Bowman, pardon me, those are what you want. But there's just a couple more pieces that I think brings Florida from that really very good recruiting class to that elite recruiting class.
No, absolutely. I agree. There's a couple, like you said, a couple pieces keeping Florida outside of that top five. And it's those big time players, especially along the offensive line. You go where you go as far as your trenches go, especially in an SEC. So if Florida can't clean that up, I think they're still going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, absolutely. Connor, one last name that I know that we didn't mention. We talked about it right before the show started. Ja'Kari Brown's coming onto campus this weekend, quarterback.
Yes, 2022 Rivals 250 dual threat quarterback from Valdosta Lowndes High School. Ja'Kari Brown will be on campus. He's visited several times. One of the top quarterbacks on Dan Mullen's board for the 2022 class. And a big Gator fan, as far as I understand.
So. Should
be interesting this weekend.
Are we on commit watch maybe?
I'm not sure, honestly. I know Ja'Kari likes Florida a lot. I think if he was to do it, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't want to say, yeah, he's set to do it this weekend.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Well, Connor, but I'd like to see Kyle Trask throw a few touchdowns, get him a little excited, see if we can't get him to give me a story or something like that.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, Connor, tell everybody again where they can find you and read all of your stuff that you're updating daily on rivals.com.
Yeah, absolutely, man. My Twitter is CJ_Clark1. I write for Rivals Gators Territory. You can find me on there, all of my pieces. I do both team and recruiting aspect of the Florida Gators. Love to do it. I enjoy every second of it. So if you guys enjoy it too, that makes it even better for me.
Man, I love it. And again, this is Dan Thompson. Shout out to Silk. He'll be with us when we do this on Wednesday. You can find me on Twitter with a new handle. We were able to drop the underscore today, Connor. So just DK Thompson. You can find me there. Other than that, we look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday. And as always, go Gators.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.